I wanted to thank you for praying for me while I was sick with COVID, and I don't know whether you noticed it or not. I was quiet in the assembly for a few years, and it's as if Lord wanted to grab my attention. I got sick with COVID. I got so sick that I ended up in hospital. I felt like my body was shutting down one at a time, and I was so weak, and I still remember looking at a surgical light right on top of me, thinking this might be the last thing I might see. And but I really thank you for your prayers, and I remember praying to the Lord, Lord, have mercy on me, and I wanted to be with Jennifer and kids, and I'm not here because I'm more holy than you, but I wasn't ready to go and meet the Lord. I was so scared that God is gonna review my entire life, and I was scared that I'm gonna be with the Lord in any time, and I prayed to the Lord reasons why I should go back to my family, and I remember praying to the Lord that I wanted to be with my family and kids, and they're still in school, and but anyways, Lord spared my life, and I'm so glad to be with my family, and it felt like at this moment where God said, you've been weighed in the balances and found wanting. That's the kind of feeling I had when I felt like I'm going to leave this world. But if you will turn with me to Daniel chapter 5, I would like to read an actual incident that happened in 539 BC, recorded in the Old Testament. It's about a foolish, proud king, Belshazzar, and the demise of the Babylonian kingdom. I would like to read the entire chapter, because God's Holy Spirit felt it important that he record this last day of this king's life and the last day of the Babylonian Empire in the Bible. Daniel chapter 5, it says, Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast for 1,000 of his lords and drank wine in the presence of the 1,000. While he tasted the wine, Belshazzar gave the command to bring the gold and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple which had been in Jerusalem, that the king and his lords, his wives, and his concubines might drink from them. Then they brought the gold vessels that had been taken from the temple of the house of God which had been in Jerusalem. And the king and his lords, his wives, and his concubines drank from them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and silver, bronze and iron, wood and stone. In the same hour, the fingers of a man's hand appeared and wrote opposite the lampstand on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. The king's countenance changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his hips were loosened, and his knees knocked against each other. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, the soothsayers. The king spoke, saying to the wise men of Babylon, "Whoever reads this writing and tells me its interpretation shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold around his neck, and he shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." Now all the king's wise men came, but they could not read the writing or make known to the king its interpretation. But King Belshazzar was greatly troubled. His countenance was changed, and his lords were astonished. The queen, because of the words of the king and his lords, came to the banquet hall. The queen spoke, saying, "O king, live forever. Do not let your thoughts trouble you. nor let your countenance change. There is a man in your kingdom, in whom is the Spirit of the Holy God. And in the days of your father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, were found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father, the king, made him chief of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers, inasmuch as an excellent spirit, knowledge, understanding, interpreting dreams, solving riddles, and explaining enigmas were found in this Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will give the interpretation. Then the Daniel was brought in before the king. The king spoke and said to Daniel, "Are you that Daniel who is one of the captives from Judah, whom my father, the king, brought from Judah? I've heard of you, that the Spirit of God is in you, that the light and understanding, that light and understanding and excellent wisdom are found in you. Now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me, that they should read this writing and make known to me its interpretation. But they could not give the interpretation of the thing. And I have heard of you, that you can give interpretations and explain enigmas. Now, if you can read the writing and make known to me its interpretation, you shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold around your neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." Then Daniel answered and said before the king, "Let your gifts be for yourself and give your rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing to the king and make known to him the interpretation. O king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar, your father, a kingdom and majesty, glory and honor. And because of the majesty that he gave him, all peoples, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he wished, he executed. Whomever he wished, he kept alive. Whomever he wished, he set up. And whomever he wished, he put down. But when his heart was lifted up and his spirit was hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. Then he was driven from the sons of men. His heart was like the beast, and his dwelling was with the wild donkeys. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God rules in the kingdom of men and appoints over it whomever he chooses. But you, his son Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, although you knew all this, and you have not lifted yourself up against the Lord of heaven. They have brought the vessels of his house before you, and you and your lords, your wives, and your concubines have drunk wine from them, and you have praised the gods of silver and gold, bronze and iron, wood and stone, which do not see or hear or know. And the God who holds your breath in his hand and owns all your ways, you have not glorified. Then the fingers of the hand were sent from him, and this writing was written. And this is the inscription that was written: Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. This is the interpretation of each word. Mene, God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. Tekel, you have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Peres, your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then Belshazzar gave the command, and they clothed Daniel with purple and put a chain of gold around his neck, and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. That very night, Belshazzar, king of the Chaldeans, was slain, and Darius the Mede received the kingdom, being about 62 years old. Under the reign of King Nebuchadnezzar II, the Babylonian Empire prospered economically and militarily. Babylon became the largest city in the world. We see in Jeremiah chapter 4, Jeremiah pleads to the nation of Judah and Jerusalem to turn away from their idolatry and return to the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, we read, "For I will bring disaster from the north and great destruction. The lion has come up from his thicket, and the destroyer of nations is on his way." In Jeremiah's prophecy, he refers to Babylonian Empire as a lion and destroyer of nations. The lion has come up from his thicket, and the destroyer of the nations is on his way. In other words, the nation of Babylon was the world's superpower, the one that is strong and ferocious like a lion and can destroy nations. Babylon enjoyed its golden era under King Nebuchadnezzar. The nation of Judah did not repent and listen to the words of the Lord spoken through Prophet Jeremiah. They still continued in idol worship and evil ways. God brought Babylonians against Jerusalem to judge them. We read about that in 2 Chronicles chapter 36. King Nebuchadnezzar attacked Jerusalem 3 times and took costly articles and treasures from the house of the Lord to put them in temple at Babylon. Daniel was taken captive to Babylon during the first attack. According to the history, after the death of King Nebuchadnezzar, there were a few years of internal strife as far as who is going to succeed him. And his son-in-law, Nabonidus, finally became the king of Babylon. He was not interested in staying in Babylon, so he moved to the Arabian region and appointed Belshazzar as the co-regent. This is the king Belshazzar we read about in Daniel chapter 5. He is the grandson of King Nebuchadnezzar. History tells us that in 539 BC, the Medo-Persian army defeated Nabonidus and took a couple of northern Babylonian cities such as Opis and Sippar. Now the city of Babylon was under a threat of a takeover. Belshazzar and his army were in the city of Babylon. As per the historical records, the entire city was fortified with huge, tall, and wide walls. River Euphrates ran through the middle of the city, providing them with water. Some of the water flowed through deep, wide trenches around the city wall, making it even more difficult for the enemies to break in. The city gates were made of bronze. They had food stocked in the city that will last for several years. The Babylonian city was literally impregnable. They had plenty of food and water, so the Belshazzar was not concerned about a possible takeover of a Medo-Persian army. Rather than prepare war with Medo-Persian army, King Belshazzar hosted a great feast for 1,000 of his nobles. His wives and his concubines were part of this great feast. Belshazzar is a prominent person in this feast. It was a drunken feast. Belshazzar was probably showing off his wealth and the Babylonian glory. My mind goes to the parable of the rich fool in the New Testament, where he said, "Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry." Similar to the parable of rich fool, in this Babylonian feast, there is no thought or acknowledgement of true God that provided them with security, food, and water. In contrast to this Babylonian feast, in the book of Job, we see another feast. Here the sons of Job had feast in their houses, and Job would offer burnt offerings for them just in case they sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Job is someone who had God in his forefront. Whenever we do fun stuff as a family, such as going for a vacation or for skiing, we always pray to God for protection. It is an example that we would like to pass on to our kids, showing our dependence to God and thanking Him for health and means. We do not want to do fun stuff forgetting God. If we do not want God to be involved in our fun activities and life, then we should examine if there is something in our fun activities or life that displeases God. During the feast, Belshazzar drank wine. He commanded them to bring gold and silver vessels, which his grandfather, King Nebuchadnezzar, took from the temple during his raids. The text in verse 2 says, "Father Nebuchadnezzar." But in the original text, the word father can be used for grandfather as well. As I said earlier, Belshazzar is the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. Belshazzar, his nobles, his wives, and his concubines drank wine from the sacred vessels of the Lord. Not only did they drink wine from the sacred vessels of the Lord, they also praised the gods of gold and silver, bronze and iron, wood and stone. We see the heart of Belshazzar in this sacrilegious act. His heart was proud. He was showing off his wealth and loot from his grandfather attacking Jerusalem. Belshazzar might have used the temple vessels of the Lord to boost the morale of Babylonians. In a way, he was showing, see what the Babylonian gods could do. By drinking wine from the sacred vessels of the Lord, he was displaying what he thought was its worth to him and insulted the God behind it. He gave glory to the Babylonian heathen gods. During the peak of this sacrilegious, lavish party, mysterious fingers of a man's hand appeared and wrote on the king's palace wall. The king saw the part of the hand that wrote. He realized it wasn't an ordinary human hand. His conscience might have troubled him. There were physiological changes that happened to the king. He was so terrified that his face turned pale. His hips became weak, and his knees knocked together. A minute ago, he was the most prominent person in the party. Now he is shaking in fear after seeing the divine hand of God that he just insulted. The king then called loudly to bring in astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers, and told them he will reward anyone who could read the writing and tell its interpretation. As I said earlier, Nabonidus is the king of Babylon, and Belshazzar is the co-regent. So the Belshazzar offered anyone who could read the writing on the wall the third position in the kingdom, along with purple cloth and gold chain. The pagan wise men in Babylon couldn't interpret the writing on the wall. So the king Belshazzar became even more terrified. His face became pale. Verse 10. Queen in verse 10 is probably the queen mother, Belshazzar's mother, or the daughter of Nebuchadnezzar. Because verse 2 says, king was already with his wives for the feast. Queen mother then comes to the banquet hall and reminds Belshazzar of Daniel, how he could interpret dreams, solve riddles, and explain enigmas. She also reminded that his grandfather Nebuchadnezzar made Daniel chief of all the wise men in Babylon. I like the phrase queen used in verse 11. There is a man in your kingdom. There is a man. Basically, queen was saying, hey king, there is no need to worry or become pale. The solution to your problem is found in a man. It is Daniel, in whom is the spirit of holy God. For all our heart's questions, troubles, yearnings, the solution is found in a God-man. It is Christ. In John chapter 4, we read about a story of a Samaritan woman who met Jesus. After she meets Jesus, she went into the city and said, Come, see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be Christ? Come, see a man. The Samaritan woman found answers to her questions in Christ. If there are any unbelievers listening to me, I urge you to come to Christ. There is a man. Come see a man. He is the Son of God and Son of Man, Christ Jesus. In him is the answer to all the yearnings of your heart. Nothing in this world will satisfy you. Only Christ will. King Belshazzar tried to find answers. In his wise men, instead of seeking God or godly man Daniel, just like that you will not find answers to your spiritual longings in this world except Christ. I urge you to trust in him for salvation. So Daniel was brought in before King Belshazzar. Look how he addressed Daniel here in verse 13. Are you that Daniel who is one of the captives from Judah? He addresses Daniel as one of the captives from Judah. It just shows how proud he was by putting Daniel down. The king offered the same gifts and rewards he offered to the wise men of Babylon if he could read and interpret the inscription on the wall. Daniel was not interested in the gifts and rewards king offered. Rather than giving straight interpretation of the inscription, Daniel reminded Belshazzar the story of his grandfather Nebuchadnezzar, how he was the supreme monarch, and that the Most High God gave him majesty, glory, and honor. But Belshazzar's heart became arrogant and proud. God removed him from the throne, made him eat grass like an oxen, until he came to the realization that the Most High God is a true ruler, and he appoints whoever he chooses. Next, Daniel accuses Belshazzar of three things. Verse 22 we read, "But you, his son Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, although you knew all this." Notice the phrase, "you knew all this." Belshazzar knew what happened to his grandfather Nebuchadnezzar and how God humbled him. Yet knowingly he chose to sin. He did not humble his heart. "You knew all this." In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26, we read, "If we willfully sin after we receive the knowledge of truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins." If there are any unbelievers listening to me, you might have heard this truth many times, that the salvation is through Christ, the Son of God, and his sacrifice on the cross on your behalf. But if you willfully keep rejecting Christ, there is no other sacrifice left for your sins. You will face judgment and wrath of God. If you look in the society now, there is moral decay and spiritual decay. It feels like it is getting worse from one generation to the next. Just like that, the Nebuchadnezzar's descendant, Belshazzar, took sin to the next level. Not only did Belshazzar did not humble his heart, he lifted himself against the Lord of heaven by doing sacrilegious act. He used the sacred vessels from the temple of Jerusalem to drink wine. In a way, he was showing how Babylonian gods were greater than the true God of Israel behind these sacred vessels. Lastly, Belshazzar was accused of idol worship. Instead of glorifying God, the one who created and sustained him, he praised the Babylonian idols that cannot see, hear, or know. We should also examine our hearts. How is our heart before God? Is it proud or humble? Proverbs chapter 3, verse 18, we read, "Pride and arrogance, an evil way, and perverse mouth I hate." God hates pride and arrogance. Pride and arrogance, in a way, shows what I can accomplish without God. James chapter 4, verse 10, we read, Humble yourselves in the sight of God, and He will lift you up. God desires humility or humbleness. It shows our dependence on Him. Daniel then told Belshazzar that the fingers of the hand were sent by God, whom he dishonored. He then explained the inscription that was written by the divine fingers, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. It is translated, numbered, numbered, weighed, and divided. God pronounces judgment against Belshazzar by writing on the wall. God has numbered the days of Belshazzar's reign and brought it to an end. Why? Because he was weighed on the balances and he was found wanting. Therefore, God is going to divide Babylon, Babylonian kingdom, and give it to Medes and Persians. Belshazzar kept his word and rewarded Daniel for explaining the dream. But unlike his grandfather Nebuchadnezzar, there is no record of him repenting or humbling his heart. Verse 30, we read, that very night, Belshazzar, king of Chaldeans, was slain. The foolish, proud king was killed that very night. The Babylonian kingdom came to an end. Darius the Mede took over the kingdom. God judged Belshazzar by abruptly bringing end to his life and the Babylonian kingdom. History tells us how Medo-Persians were able to get into the impregnable Babylonian city. They were able to divert the river Euphrates that ran through the middle of the city and lower the water level. The army then walked under the walls through the river Euphrates while the Babylonians were enjoying the feast. The city of Babylon was captured by Medo-Persians without much effort, and Belshazzar was killed. I wanted to focus on verse 27. You have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. God reviewed the whole life of Belshazzar, his actions, and he was found wanting. There was nothing in his life that would tip God's scales. What if divine hand of God come right now and write on the wall of the church God's evaluation of our life? What if God weighs us right now? Which way would the divine balance tip? Will we be found wanting? When God weighs us, He's going to put His righteous standard on one side. Our good deeds, righteous acts, or money cannot tip the divine balance. Romans chapter 3, verse 23, we read, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We have all sinned. Hence, we are found wanting in the divine balance. We do not measure up to God's glory. What we deserved was punishment from God, which is death. But we read in John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If there are any unbelievers listening to me, I urge you to believe in Christ Jesus for salvation. Without Christ, the divine balance cannot be tipped. The finger of God that condemned Belshazzar condemns you as well. In the Old Testament, there is one other time God's fingers wrote. In Exodus chapter 31, we read, He gave Moses two tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone, written with the finger of God. And James chapter 2, verse 10, we read, for whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. God wrote 10 commandments with His own finger and gave it to Moses. But the children of Israel did not keep it. They were guilty of all. Hence, the handwriting of God was against them. They were found wanting. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 14, we see what Christ did for them. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. The children of Israel owed God a debt for breaking the law. But God in Christ wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against them. We were no different. We are born sinners. We broke God's commandments. What we deserved was death. We owed God a debt as well. But Christ paid our debt in full by dying on the cross. He nailed the indictment that was against us on the cross. The death that we deserved, he took upon himself. This reminds me of a song. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. He paid that debt at Calvary. He cleansed my soul and set me free. I'm glad that Jesus did all my sins erase. I now can sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. One day he's coming back for me to live with him eternally. Won't it be glory to see him on that day? I then will sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. In summary, we should not be proud like Belshazzar. Instead, we should humble our hearts before God. We should not do that which is sinful when we engage in fun activities or any time in our life. We should not insult or mock God. Belshazzar drank wine from the sacred vessels from the temple in Jerusalem. He praised the Babylonian pagan gods. We should not do sacrilegious act or worship idols like Belshazzar. Instead, we should honor and praise God who holds our breath. The fingers of God that condemned Belshazzar condemns as well for our sins. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 we read, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." Without Christ, we will be found wanting in the divine balance. There is a man, the man Christ Jesus, who is the mediator between God and man, who can wipe out the handwriting of requirements that is against us. I urge you to trust in him for salvation before it is too late. May his name be glorified. O God, our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this day where we could worship thee in truth and spirit and to think about what thou hast done on the cross. Father, we thank thee for this time where we could spend some time in this word, and you record in the Bible the last day of King Belshazzar and how he was foolish, how he was proud, and did sacrilegious act. And pray that thou would humble us, and pray that our hearts will be loyal to you, and pray that our heart doesn't go after things of this world, and pray that if there are any shortcomings in our lives, pray that thou would forgive us. And we thank thee once again for paying that debt that we couldn't pay. We thank thee that in Christ the divine balances can be tipped. Father, if there are any unbelievers listening to me, pray that thou would work in their hearts, and pray that thou would convict them. And we thank thee once again for salvation that you have offered to us through Christ Jesus. Father, pray that thou would keep us safe as we go home. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.